All right, well, let's do it then. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 14. Let's remember those. We'll go to prayer here after a while. All right. So I'm going to do again tonight like we did last Wednesday night and just kind of give you about two or three texts. If we get three, that'll be good. Maybe just two, but we're going to try to do three different texts. And what I'm going to ask you to do, well, let's just give the first verse here in a moment. And so we'll give the verse. The first one is in verse number 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Do you realize we're almost halfway finished with Proverbs? And I don't know about you, but I've enjoyed it immensely with our men doing the teaching. And I'll be glad we get some more of them back. All right? So this is summertime. Folks are away. And Lord willing, Becky and I will be taking off. It'll actually be the 1st of September for our 10th anniversary. We're going to head up to Pennsylvania with our little trailer and scoot up there for about 10 days or whatever, and kind of take a day or two coming back and just enjoy being together and then get back and going full steam. So September is going to be a busy month and with a lot of things going on. And then October, we have our missions conference. Looking forward to that. We've got banners that we're going to be putting up and some that we've used in the past, evidently, and possibly a new one with my picture right in. No, not really. All right. But that would be a missionary project then, wouldn't it? All right. Lord, please help this guy. All right. But a lot of things coming up in September, October. We'll be having the young folks that'll start with us. Don't know exactly. I will see them, Lord willing, maybe tomorrow. Becky and I are supposed to go back tomorrow just for the faculty to say goodbye kind of a thing. Since we've moved up here, it was kind of at the end of the season or last semester. I still had to teach 2 weeks in summer school kind of things, modules. And so it wasn't really a send-off like they wanted to do. And so Dr. Beal asked if we would come back. They asked me that back then, if we would come back tomorrow and have lunch with them and just kind of a more formal way of saying goodbye. And so so we're going to do that. And but a lot of things coming up and looking forward to it. All right, now let's look forward to getting into the Word. That's why we're here. All right, this is Proverbs chapter 14. And let's go ahead and look at verse number 4. And what I'm going to ask you to do is help me figure things out here. Now, I'm going to probably give some kind of idea of where to head and what I'm looking for, but I want you to get involved in it. And so I'm not going to call on anyone unless you look like you're dodging me, all right? If your head's down, that's a sure sign to me that you want to participate. All right, I'm teasing. I'm not going to do that. I would with my students, though. If I was going to say, all right, we're going to get some help on these answers, and boom, and it'd go down like that. And if I knew they were just timid, I wouldn't do that, but it was fun. At least from my standpoint, it was fun. All right, maybe not theirs. Here we go. Verse number 4, notice what it says. It's kind of an unusual statement, not really hard to understand. We're going to look at it a little bit. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. All right, where no oxen are, the crib, we could call it a stall today, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. So a couple of things. Number one, good news is if you have a clean stall, you don't have to do any, I think they call it mucking. You don't have to get rid of all the old hay and put in new hay and the feed that wasn't eaten. You don't have to sweep it out and start over. If the crib's clean from the one that's maintaining it, it's a good thing. I mean, that's, oh, what a blessing. You probably go to somewhere and say, I got a blessing tonight. I didn't have to clean the stall today. But notice what it says. Where no oxen are, they're not in there, the crib is clean. But much increase is by the strength of the ox. So here's what I'd like you to help me to figure out tonight. What does a clean stall or a soiled stall? Either one. What does a clean or a soiled stall have to do with an ox's strength? Okay? What is he trying to get across? This is just one of those one verse kind of vignettes of truth. Just a spotlight, just a single spotlight. Boom. Here's a truth I want you to know. That's why it's called a proverb. Okay? What is he really trying to get across? Now, this is not just for prose or for literary effect. He is here so that Brother Roger will get something from the Word of God, and it can help Brother Roger walk with the Lord. Or Sister Mills, or Miss Mary, or for Andy Bray. So notice what it says. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean. But where much increase is by the strength of the ox. So what relationship does a clean or a soiled stall have to do with the strength of that ox? What do you think? I'm sorry? Okay.
Or, you know, I think another way I heard this, where if you don't put much in for food, there won't be much to clean up out.
That's true.
And so, certainly, if you don't have an ox, nothing's going to be accomplished. So it's good to see some clutter in the stall, shall we say?
Yeah. Very good. Once a vet, always a vet. All right. That's good. Brother Josh.
I'm going a little metaphorical, I guess. Is the way.
Well, that's kind of what this is. So.
Okay, good. So I'm thinking eagerness to want to take on more knowledge or wisdom from God.
Okay. Very good. Very good. So if we put those two together, if you have an ox who is in the stall and he's feeding in the stall, but he's doing other things in the stall, but he's feeding in the stall, when it comes time to get something done, then he'll probably have the strength to get the job done. Is that what we're saying? And Brother Josh was really giving us the more spiritual end of it. And he's given us the practical end. The spiritual end of that is what? Say it, if you would, one more time.
The eagerness to consume more wisdom.
Okay. So by the ox being healthy and desiring to feed and the other processes that go along with it, that it just, maybe he goes out and he's muddy and he comes back and it's a muddied stall. But he says here, that but with much increase is the strength of the ox. Yes, sir.
Back in the day, the ox was their tractor.
That's exactly right.
And if they didn't have a tractor, they couldn't plow the fields.
Very good.
They couldn't grow any food, or it'd be a lot harder.
Okay. Okay, very good. So that fits right in with our resident vet here, all right? That there's a lot to be said about the benefit of having a stall that's not clean, because it was the tractor of the day. And if the stall is clean, either you don't have the tractor or he's not getting fed. And if he's not being fed and having the other processes go on with walking and sitting and lying down in it and all of that, if you don't have that, then when it comes time to be in the field, he's not going to get the job done. Are we all right on that metaphoric principle? I'll get it out. Yes, ma'am.
I grew up on a farm.
Uh-oh, you know.
I had to work for
Very good. Very good. Very good. All right. Now, the question is this. With the exception of the Travises here, how many of you have oxen? Okay. Maybe they don't either. I'm not sure. I don't think they do have any ox at their place. All right. I've been to their place, and it's always very clean. All right. Well, maybe I shouldn't say that. It's not going wrong with it. All right. But they don't have. All right. How many of you have oxen? How many have an ox or an oxen? Okay. You don't have. Okay. What's he trying to get across here? What do you think he's really going after? To whom is he writing? Okay. They're Proverbs. Perhaps his son, maybe. Perhaps others. And he is saying, if you have a clean stall, there's not a lot of positive going on. If you have a soiled stall, then that's evidence that there's something going on. There's your beast, your tractor is being fed, and not only is he being fed, that's a good thing. He'll stay alive that way, but not only is that a good thing, when he comes to getting the job done, he's going to have the strength to do it. Now, what does that mean to Miss Helen? What does that mean to Sister Sandra? What does that mean to Brother Josh? What does that mean to each one of us? What's he trying to get across to us?
Responsibility.
Okay, responsibility would be a part of it.
In business, I see it like a cost-benefit analysis, which some things are considered cost. It's only reducing value, and some things are investment. There's an expenditure with an expected return, and it may be a sacrifice invested, but usually there's a greater return.
Very good. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Someone else. Okay, let's take it a step further. What is the end goal that the farmer has that Brother Jesse's just told us about? What would it be? Produce, yeah. He'd be producing crops or grinding maybe meal or certainly not grits, but some other things that might be worth eating. In other words, there is a job to be accomplished. That's the ambition. Now, when we take it to our lives, let's think about it. Now, what's the key word in here? With the ox, what happens with the ox? If the stall is not clean, what's the real focus of the benefit of that? Strength is exactly right. Okay, now let's look at our lives. What does God want in our lives? Would you say strength? Be strong in the Lord, right? Okay, fellas, quit ye like men, be strong. So much is in there to take on the whole armor of God that you may be able to what? Stand in the evil day, stand against the wiles of the devil. All right. So let me ask you a question. Deep theological, grammatical, historical question. Y'all ready? Ready, 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 ready? How many, now I know probably it isn't true, but maybe in our live stream, folks, maybe not, maybe not, maybe not. Certainly in the sound booth back there, well, maybe not either there. How many of you have ever come across a Bible passage and you didn't understand it? Anyone? Oh, all of us. At least I think it was all of us. Yeah, that stall's not clean. Wait a minute, God's word is saying this. I don't understand it. But where there's much feeding going on, from what? The word of God. As a matter of fact, let me just give you some verses. 1 Corinthians 15:56. Be therefore steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Okay? Galatians 6, he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse number 10. The Bible says, if someone does not work, then they should not eat. Now, that's kind of mixing principle with principle, but the idea is this, is that the Word of God, when we feed on the Word of God, And we study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. How many of you a while ago said, I've come across Bible passages that I didn't understand? If you'll raise your hand. All right. How many of you, that was almost everyone, if not everyone. All right. Now let me ask another question. How many of you have had those kinds of settings and you didn't this time? Maybe you would have done it before, but this time you didn't skip over it. You said, you know what? It's in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit's been given to me, according to John 16, to guide me into all truth. So Holy Spirit, I'm going to wrestle with this. It may take me 2 days. It may take me 2 months. It may take me 2 years, but I'm not going to let go of it, Lord. I want to know what you have in this for me. How many of you in some of those passages, maybe not all of them, but how many in some of those passages, you've gotten into the Word of God, you've studied it out, and the light came on, boom. It may have come on the first time. It may have been down the road a ways, and boom, the light came on. Yes, that's what that means. How many of you have had that happen? Okay, that's just about everyone, if not everyone again. That's what I think he's getting across here. Is don't be so concerned about how difficult it is or how messy it is. You may have to take papers and go, that paper there and this paper here and that paper there and this commentary here and that commentary there. And Lord, help me to do this word study. I'm having trouble with this word study. But if you'll stay after it and stay after it, God wants you to know his principles more than you want to know them. And if you and I will be willing to get into and just get in there and work and say, Lord, I don't have it yet, but that's okay. I know you do all things well. And Holy Spirit, it would be nice if I could get that the next time I'm here, or maybe in between. And all of a sudden you enlighten me and it's no longer a mystery to my heart. Does that make sense? So the point is, let's be diligent in our studies. And when we don't understand it or when somebody else doesn't understand it, then that's okay. Let's go after it. And then a good practice. Once you do that, once you study it, and here's what I recommend to the college students and folks I have in here tonight are mature folks in the Lord. So here's what I'd recommend is when you're going to study a book of the Bible, okay, do two things. And again, this takes time, but nobody's in a hurry. We just have life to live, right? And one day we'll be in heaven, so you won't need to do it then. So why don't you do this? Why don't you study a passage, study a book, and write your own commentary on it? Okay? Doesn't mean it's going to get published necessarily. It might. Maybe you can use it for a Sunday school class. Maybe you can teach it somewhere or to a friend. But in doing the text, and this is what I encourage the guys in the penitentiary to do, or the, what do they call it? Where they hold the prisoners until detention center in Asheville. Now, these are the worst of the worst. These are bad guys. I didn't go to the gals section, but these are the bad guys I dealt with. And I mean, just all kinds of stuff. And a couple of them had gotten saved and really saved. And so I challenged them. Take a book of the Bible like James or like another book of the Bible, and I think I started them in Timothy, and just study it on your own, because they didn't have a lot of commentaries at that particular facility. Study it on your own and write it down. And I can take you, it's in one of my files. My files are still all messed up in there, but I could take you to where two of those guys wrote commentaries on Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Timothy. And it's wonderful to read, okay? So my encouragement is before you read anyone else's commentary on it, unless you don't understand a word or something like that, then do that. But, and not necessarily the whole book, but if there's a passage, maybe it's a chapter, study that chapter and then write out a paragraph or so about that chapter. And then go to a commentary if you want to. Go to someone that you know, maybe your pastor can help you with it, maybe your Sunday school teacher can help you with it, but go to someone else and say, listen, do you know someone that's written a good commentary on Romans or on Philippians or on something else that you know is straight as an arrow scripturally? I mean, they just believe the Word of God is the Word of God should be. Okay? And so the benefit of doing that is, for me, when I do it, and that's the way I go about it, I do my own study first, and I have for many years. And I've been wrong a number of times. But by doing my own study, I've had to think through the details of it. So that then when I read over Ironside, or I read over Morgan, boy, my brain's not working here, G. Campbell Morgan, or somebody else that I know is straight and just knows the Word of God, then what it is, when they disagree with what I've written, it doesn't necessarily mean I'm wrong. Doesn't necessarily mean I'm right. What it does is it just waves a flag saying, wait a minute, go back and study it again from that person's perspective and see if it makes sense contextually. See if it makes sense according to what it's talking about in that text and in that book, because books have different perspectives, like Hebrews does from Romans or Malachi does from Jeremiah. And so what is he saying in that passage right around it? What is he saying in that particular book? And what you'll find is, I believe it'll stand out to you. Almost like the old proverbial sore thumb. Oh, wait a minute, I didn't do that right. Yeah, I see what he's saying there. I see what she said in that text. And you know what? When I look at the context, I was taking that verse and pulling it out and saying something that really wasn't saying in the rest of the context. And people do that all the time. Commentators do that all the time. But Lord, and then when you finish with that, then you go on to the next one, okay? Does any of that make sense? Does it make sense? Try it. You know what you're going to find? Number one, you're going to be blessed by what God shows you. Number two, you're going to be blessed in seeing that many times you interpreted that just right. But then number three, in the times that have happened to me, and I've had my share, where I come back and I realize, wait a minute, this guy says this and that guy says that, I'm going to study both of those guys because I don't agree with either one of them. And the Holy Spirit, like the proverbial, who was it? Just last week. I forget who it was. Where was I? Someplace. And I hate to use the term here, but this was a professional guy. I can't remember where I was. It was somewhere here in town. And it may have been at the John Deere place. I don't remember where it was. But anyway, he was showing me where they put the well or whatever. And he says, you want to know how he found it? And I said, what? How many of you know what a water witch is? All right. He said, that's exactly what he did. And he said, all right. There it is. Put the well right there, and they've had plenty of water. Here's what you're going to find, is that when you do that kind of a study, instead of just saying, well, I wonder what that passage says, and you read what Bray says, for what that's worth, or you read what somebody really, really solid says, and yeah, get it on your own first. Go to the Holy Spirit. Do you know he loves you, Roger? Do you know he loves you, Miss Gretchen? Do you know he loves you, sister? He loves every one of you just like, and he even loves me. And he wants to guide me into all truth. So there's benefit in reading after others. But my suggestion is you do your own first. And ask the Holy Spirit for light. And he'll give it to you. I believe with all my heart. Okay. We got to hurry. Let's go to the next one real quickly. Let's go to, let's see here. I didn't write the verse down. Let me find it. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. 12. Thank you. All right. Verse number 12. Let's look at it. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are ways of death. Somebody, I'll give you 30 seconds. See if you can find something in that text that's kind of unusual. Okay? There's not a consistency in it. Did you already see it? Okay. Wait a minute. All right. All right? See if you can find it. See if you can find something that's not consistent. There's a change. I got it. Okay, I see smiles. Okay, let's don't spend any more time on it. All right? What is it that changes in this? I think you were first.
Yeah, is an R.
Okay. Is an R. In other words, he starts with the singular. Notice what he says, verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man. When Bray thinks I'm right, Bray thinks I'm right. This is the right way to go. Okay? This is the right way to go. Now, that could be talking about directions, but here we're talking about spiritual truth. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof. End is in the singular or plural? Be singular. The end thereof are. There's where you go from singular to plural. You notice it's in italics, so it's not in the Hebrew, but we know it's plural by the next two words. The end thereof are the ways of death. So in other words, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, of that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So he's saying here that when I determine this is the way to go, but it's the wrong way. Okay? For example, when I was doing some flying, I've told you I got lost flying. I've told you that 14 times, right? Okay, right or wrong? Okay? Day after I soloed airplane, first just learned I had about 7 hours of flying time, and so I was up by myself and flying away, and I thought, if I follow this road, there's no way I can get lost because all I have to do is turn around and come back. Okay, long story short, I knew there was one road. This is the way to go. This is it. The problem with that is when I turned around on an interstate interchange. Road's going every which way. And you know what happened. Oh, it was a beautiful morning. I was flying about 5,000 feet. Beautiful morning. No clouds in the sky, so the air was heated evenly. I mean, just smooth as silk. Just flying, having a great time. And I kept flying and nothing looked familiar. And there were many other ways to go instead of that one road. And before long, I realized, I said to myself, self, you're lost. And my first thought was, I'll stop at a gas station and find out where I am. I don't know how old I was. I was probably, 20 years old. And 19 years old, whatever. And the thought hit me, there's no gas stations at 5,000 feet. And so I started looking around for anything that looked, anything. I was calling in, just looking for a way to get me back to safety. Because in a small airplane, and especially in low-wing airplanes, your gas tanks are in the wings. So every so often, you have to switch them back and forth to keep the balance right in the airplane. And I kept switching, and that was not a good thing. Now, here's my point. Notice what he says. There is a way, one at a time, which seemeth, there's the key word there, it seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Hebrews 5:14. Strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, having their senses, what's the next word? Exercised. You don't have it in front of you, but exercised thereof. So or thereby. He is saying in Hebrews, he is saying that strong meat belongeth. He is saying there are those who can't handle strong meat. They need something tender. Maybe it's the milk of the word. Maybe it's the bread of the word. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Maybe it is they're not able to do that. But those who are at that place, maybe they're a milk Christian. Maybe they've been saved 20 years, but they've never grown in the Lord. They've never gotten in and studied like we've talked about tonight. And so it's just kind of, but if they get in and they study that milk of the word, and they get in there, you must be born again. What does that mean? Oh, what does it mean to some of these things? And they chew on them and the light comes on and they can go from milk to bread, so to speak. And then they can go from bread to some easy meat to chew. And then they can get into some of the more challenging passages of Scripture. 2 Timothy 2:15, we've already talked about it. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. What's the next two words? Rightly dividing the word of truth. So that's what we're talking about here when it says in verse number 12, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So he's saying you've got to be able to determine what is the right attitude here. Okay? Let's just take this, and we'll finish with this. I hadn't planned on saying it, but let's just throw it out there. You may not have noticed, you probably haven't, because I'm the pastor and I notice these kinds of things. And so I want you to look up to me for that reason, okay? You may not have noticed that we're a relatively small church. Anybody happen to know that? I don't know if you knew. Okay, you did. All right. I'm being facetious. Do we take that and say, we're just a relatively small church? We're probably always going to be that way. And by the way, we're not after numbers here. And by the way, that is a truthful statement in a way. Now, there is a book in the Bible called Numbers, so we're not going to throw that out altogether, all right? But the point is that if you and I are willing to get the stall dirty, so to speak, and we're going to get out on soul winning, or we're going to get into the Word of God and study, and the more we do that, we're going to be able to rightly divide the Word of truth. So that one of the words of truth is, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He says to go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be full. Why? Because God wants every pew filled because he likes pews that are full as opposed to pews that are... No! It's because the world's lost in sin. And we need godly men and women who eat and live because they've been in the stall, in their closet with the Lord. They've been in that place in the quiet of the morning or in the evening, whenever you get into the Word, and you've got your lamp on, you've got your Bible helps in as far as knowing word studies and things like that, and you get in so that you can rightly divide the word of truth. Instead of just saying we're a small church and we're going to stay that way. If we do that, we're going to use the back door of humility. We're going to call it humility because we're just a small church. We're going to use that false sense of humility that's the back door of pride and say, well, if it's a small church, I don't have to do anything. Instead of saying, wait a minute, God has something he wants me to do. He wants me to study so that I can rightly divide, so that I don't choose the wrong road. But even though it may seem to be the right road, now that I've chewed on the milk of the Word and the bread of the Word and the meat of the Word, now that I've chewed on it, whoa, wait a minute. This is doctrinally wrong. This is doctrinally right. I'm going to go in the doctrinally right direction. And that's what he's talking about, in my opinion, here. Galatians 6:1, brethren, Brethren, if any among you, that's not right. Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if there be a man among you, how's it go? Help me out. Overtaken in a fault. Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. Okay? Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, he's walking around, I've quoted it many times, and they are in a trap spring. They didn't rightly divide the word of truth. They had chewed on the word. Their stall was clean. They're just existing in Christianity, so to speak. They're born again, going to heaven, but there's nothing being accomplished, no strength there. And so they're not watching spiritually in their lives, with their finances, with their emotions, with their attitudes, with their relationships, with their work ethic, with their wardrobe, with whatever subject we're talking about. And they stumble in their Christian walk. Maybe they've ruined their testimony. He's saying, brethren, ye which are spiritual, restore. It's bone and socket. Your socket's out of place, you put the socket back in. Restore such an one in the faith. That's what this is about. Okay? All right. We got two done. We didn't get to number three. All right? But number three is, in fact, numbers one and two are on one page. Number three is on... Both of these are on one. Number three is on one page by itself. So you want to stay for it? Huh? Yeah. I'm not seeing any yeses. Okay, I'm teasing, of course. That's verse 26. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. This is a great verse. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. He didn't just say strength. Strong confidence. And his children shall have a place of refuge. In the fear of the Lord. Oh, I wish we had time to go into it. We don't. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. It doesn't say that the children have followed exactly like they should. It says that we who are walking, and maybe spiritual children, it may just be those who are watching you. When you and I are strong in the Lord and we have that confidence, that God's going to see us through it. It may be the tumor. It may be the job loss. Whatever it is, we're not kicking and screaming. We're saying, okay, Lord, here we go. I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. Those who are following us will have a place of refuge when they're going through it, because they're going to be scared. They're not going to know which way to go. But they're going to say, you know what? I saw Josh. I saw Sister Gretchen. I saw him. If God can do it for them, God can do it for me. God's allowed me to be around some spiritual heroes of mine. Some people that, wow. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. And when you and I walk with the Lord and study his word, study it, not just read it, study it. Make your own commentary. When I was first counseled to do that or challenged to do that, I thought, there's no way. No way, no way, no way. That's been one of the great blessings of my life. I don't know that anybody else would ever want to read it. But if you go in my office, you'll notice as you walk in the door to the left, Brother Schultz put another bookshelf up there for me. And there's on the far side are a number of notebooks dealing with different books of the Bible, that Ephesians and just different ones, Hebrews, that I've gone through and I've written my own. And then I've gone back and said, oh, here's what Ironside said about that. And here's what Morgan said, or Spurgeon, or Pink, or whatever. And Pink's a strong Calvinist. But the old saying is, you chew the meat and you spit out the bones. And no one's perfect. And so I challenge you to take whatever I preach and examine it according to the word. And if it seems to be otherwise, come see me. And boy, I will run to it in a hurry and figure out if I'm right on that or what. Okay? All right.